And the Old Testament took about 1,500 years to write. 1,500 years by many, many authors. And then after the 1,500 years, there was about 450 years of silence. And then there was another 50 years where the New Testament was written. The Bible together, old and new, tell a story. And it begins in Genesis, and it talks about the beginning of the universe, the beginning of humanity. And it ends with the book of Revelation, which talks about how this will come to an end and what it will look like after that. For over 1,500 years, authors had been writing their books. And little did they know that they were developing a story. And just imagine, 1,500 years telling a story from beginning to end. It's easy for one author to do it, easy for two authors to do it, for more than 60 authors to do it. And in this story, at the very, very heart of this story, was this promise that God made in the Old Testament. He said that he would send a son. He would send a child. And so just imagine that Israel was pregnant. There was a womb, out of her womb would come a child. And this child, people wondered about who he is, what he's going to be like. And over again, the prophets would say, this is what he's going to be like. And at one time, they even say, do you want to know where he's going to be born? Just think of how many places on planet Earth that somebody can be born. Zeroed in on Bethlehem. Talked about the kind of person he would be. Talked about the kind of mother that he would have. Talked about the kind of life that he would live. His character. Talked about the fact that many in Israel would reject him. Talked about the fact about his death and that people were going to betray him. And what his death and later resurrection would look like. All of these things were already stated in the Old Testament. Sometimes you read the New and you would think that people were actually writing this story right underneath the cross, for example, because the details are just so amazing. And so there was this promise in the Old Testament, I will send somebody. And the reason that we have this book, the Old Testament, was because God made a promise. You know, somebody could come along and say, do you know that God promised this about 1,000 years ago, 1,500? And we would easily say, prove it. Well, God did prove it. He said, write it down. And it was written down so that anybody could read it and see it, so that they could believe in God's promises. And so if the Old Testament is about promise, if you read the New Testament, you will begin to read, and it was fulfilled, and it was fulfilled, and it was fulfilled, because that's what the New Testament says. Promise, fulfillment. God made a promise. God fulfilled that promise in the person of Jesus Christ. There's also another thread in the Old and New Testament. It's a bit gory when you read some of the Old Testament because it talks about blood sacrifices. And really what was going on there was that the Israelites understood that sin was like, it deserved capital punishment. Somebody had to die. It was a serious matter. And so God provided a scapegoat, a lamb, often. And he said, put your hand on this lamb, and the sins that you have committed will go out unto the lamb, will be transferred to the lamb, and the lamb will die in your place. A scapegoat, pretty gory. And then when you get to Isaiah, which is in the middle of the Bible, it begins to talk about a person, a servant. Somebody would come, and on that person would be the sins of people. That God was going to put the sins of humanity on this individual, this servant. Who on earth is this person? Started off with animals, lambs. When we get to the New Testament, then the first words out of John the Baptist's mouth when he sees Jesus is, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's a thread going from the Old Testament right into the New. Who would have thought that Jesus would come and take on the sins of the whole world. That your sins and my sins, if we believe on him, we will find that our sins are on Christ. There was another thread right from the beginning that this king, this warrior would come. And we see this story again right from the very beginning, that there was going to be this conflict, this showdown. And very often in the Old Testament, it was between nation and nation, Israel versus all kinds of different nations. But when we get into the New Testament, we discover that Jesus did come to do battle and to do conflict, but not against people, not against nations. He came to do battle against Satan. He came to do battle against sin in all of its forms. He came to do battle against death, the greatest enemy. And he conquered those things. He had to conquer them. And now he represents us. Those of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall conquer Satan, we shall conquer sin, we shall conquer death in Christ. It's a theme that goes from the Old Testament right until the New Testament. But perhaps one of the most amazing threads that we find in the Old Testament is that there was this child to be born, this son that was going to be given, and the government would be on his shoulders, and he would have these names, Wonderful Counselor, and then a name called Mighty God, and then another name, Everlasting Father, and then another, Prince of Peace. What child can have that name, Mighty God, Everlasting Father? And what we discover when we come into the New Testament was that this child that was promised from the very beginning was actually God himself who was going to come in the person of Jesus Christ for our salvation, the sinless one, the Lamb of God, taking upon himself the sins of the world. I don't know about you, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I know you need a Savior too. And God in his mercy and his kindness and his love has come to us, has died on that cross so that we can have forgiveness and find grace and mercy and begin a new life empowered by his Spirit. That's the story that we find in this Bible in a simplified form. This is the essence of it. And I encourage everybody to read it. But if you're asking that question, like, where do these inspiring, you know, lyrics come from, these songs? They all come from this story. They've all plagiarized from the Bible. This is where it comes from. And so listen, if this Messiah, this child that was born 2,000 years ago is who the Bible claims him to be, then we need to listen because he's a prophet. He knows who God is, and when he speaks the truth. If he really is the Lamb of God and the high priest, then we can come to him and receive forgiveness for our sins. And if he's the warrior and the king, we can find strength in him. And as a king, we need to obey him. He should have our allegiance. And if he's God, then and only then should we actually worship him. So I trust and I hope and I pray that everybody in this place will know the love of God in Christ Jesus, that you will know him. Listen, it's more important that you know who Jesus is. That is the primary question, even more important than how should you live, what is right, what is wrong, how can I be happy, so on and so forth. If you settle that issue, that question, who is Jesus Christ, and you find him as the scriptures reveal it, then everything else will fall into place. But I need to encourage people to start with the person of Jesus. Who is he? He is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Prince of Peace. And I pray that you will, in your own lives, be able to experience more and more the richness of who this person is that we gather together to worship on Christmas Eve and throughout the Advent service. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray. I know that that Christmas can be such a difficult time for so many people. There's loneliness, there's poverty, There's broken relationships. There's death that had taken place. There's a lot of folk grieving at a time like this. And Lord, I just pray that the spirit of peace would be upon each person here today, that they would know you. We're reminded that the first Christmas, there was no Christmas tree, there was no turkey dinner, there were no gifts except those that came from the wise man, perhaps. Lord, it was what you came to do and what you came to give. And I pray that we as people who stand before you in need of you, I pray, Lord, that we would just open our hands, open our arms, open our hearts and lives and receive the amazing gift, the unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ himself. Thank you for this gift. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.